just like I did. Welcome, Professor Byrne. It's good to have you.
Hi, Clarence. Thanks.
And Prof. Byrne is an entomologist at Wits University. I suggested that these Parktown prawns are of extraterrestrial origin, replete with purple blood. You're arguing that they're not. I can't believe that they are part of the ecosystem. What function do they fulfill?
Well, you know, this is the problem with a sort of human outlook on life, is that we look for functions that address something, you know, in our needs. So they're not necessarily doing anything that's going to make us feel great, but what they are is they are the ultimate recyclers. They're at the bottom of the food chain, turning waste material back into usable material by releasing the nutrients in, say, plant or animal material, releasing it into the soil so that those nutrients can be used again by plants, and the cycle starts all over again. So I think they're a massive part of the ecosystem, and they present an ecosystem service that we ultimately use.
An important part of the ecosystem, and that's going to help us to see them a little differently. Is there a proliferation of this particular species, because people are reporting seeing it often?
Well, you see, you know, I think it's great when people, you know, pick up on something and they notice it for the first time. And it's very difficult to tell whether the numbers have changed or not. But the problem is we're always changing the landscape around us. And what these animals are, they're actually a forest species.
Okay.
And so we've built forests in our gardens, you know, with lots of trees and bushes and things like that. And they've thought, okay, this looks good, and they've moved into the habitat that we've created. So it really depends where you are and, you know, what's your local habitat, whether they've moved into your area or not.
You've explained the role of the king cricket, the Parktown prawn, in the ecosystem. Who would prey, what would prey on a king cricket?
Really good question, because we don't know. And you see, this is the problem, is that we have all these animals and plants in our, and particularly the animals, that we know very little about. So we think that hardiedars take them, but I don't know if you know about them. They produce this really stinky poo. I don't know if you've ever had a close encounter with a Parktown prawn, but they defecate as a defense mechanism.
Ouch.
And and it stinks and it sticks. And people have actually done experiments on this, believe it or not. And they found that the poo doesn't put off the predators. So things like lizards and birds will eat them, whatever, you know, because they actually represent a nice, big, fat, juicy meal.
Wow. Okay, so you're saying 3 meters is not a close encounter then?
Absolutely not. No, because you've got to get up close and look at them in the face, and that's the other thing is...
Amongst other places.
Well, we'll talk about the back end in a minute, but the front end of the male has actually got tusks, like an elephant, and the quality of the male can be gathered or assessed by the size of his tusks, because he will use those tusks to fight other males for access to females. So they're worth looking at the front end. And then at the back end, a lot of people think it's a sting, but there's this long syringe type tail that sticks out of the backside of the female, and that's actually what she uses to lay eggs. It's a thing called an ovipositor, so she will stick that into the ground and insert her eggs into the soil using that. So you've got to get up close to look at these things. They are actually gorgeous and pretty interesting.
Professor Marcus Byrne, entomologist at Wits University. We'll take your word for it.
Thank you.
We're not necessarily going to get up that close. But just, Prof, average, what's the average size of a Parktown prawn?
Yeah, good question. I'm now sort of literally sucking my thumb and looking at it. It's probably about the length of your thumb. So to be honest, you're a wimp if you're scared of something that's as big as your thumb.
I'll be a wimp then. Thank you, Prof.
You know, and it can jump and it can bite. But
it bites as well. Okay.
Yeah, of course. But it was not going to kill you, you know, and you'll feel so excited after this encounter with it.
I can only be an entomologist now, really. Why do they hiss at you?
Again, it's another escape mechanism, a defense mechanism, and they're not actually hissing. What they're doing is they're rubbing their legs against their body because they can't expel air from their body in the same way that you and I can, because they don't breathe the same way as we do. So it's called stridulating, where they rub their legs against themselves, against their body parts, and they sound like they're hissing, which I think is pretty cool, because then they're pretending to be something else, like a snake, which is also a cool thing to do.
I think you're a big fan of the King Cricket, Prof. Have you done your thesis on this thing?
No, I haven't actually. My own area of interest is dung beetles, which, okay, you know, you're going to have to give me 45 minutes to get onto the dung beetles. But I think the point is with the Parktown prawn is all of these animals, the closer you look, the more interesting they are. And then the more interested we get in them, the more we understand them and we're inclined to be tolerant of them. You know, so they communicate with smell with each other. The males can smell out burrows that the females have been in, and that's where they like to hang out. So, you know, they have a romantic life as well, which, you know, most people don't think that a part-time prawn can be romantic.
Charming.
But they are, you know. They have feelings.
They have feelings too. Okay, this is a Parktown. Have you ever come across a park, a narrow encounter of a Parktown prawn kind? If you've had that, can you perceive the Parktown prawn in the manner that Professor Marcus Byrne insists that we do this afternoon? I've never come closer than 3 meters to it. And the anecdotal evidence that I've gathered from the people that did go a little closer, they say the blood is, what, purple? Is that correct?
You see, now, short answer is I don't know, but that suggests they squashed them.
Yes. Before you told us they're romantic animals, we just kind of squashed them.
Yeah.
Now we're going to think twice, then squash them.
Yeah, okay, right. So it's probably the good contents. It's probably the feces that we've talked about, because that is an evil sort of black, purplish,
okay,
sticky fluid. So I imagine it's actually the gut contents that they've seen rather than the blood.
Well, I think we found out a lot about the Parktown prawn. First officially discovered in South Africa, 1899. Does that mean it's what, endemic to this country?
Well, another brilliant question. Again, worst thing to say is we don't know, because we think we have several species. And again, it's because they're understudied and somebody needs to get in there and look at them very closely and decide whether it's one or two species we have. But in fact, New Zealand, I hate to give them any credit for anything, but they're really the king cricket center of the world. They call them wetters, and they have many, many species, and some of their species are astonishing. They can withstand being frozen in the winter, and they're enormous compared to ours. So we're kind of on the back end of the king cricket story and at this end of the continent.
And I just, you know, having this interaction with you, Prof. Marcus Byrne, entomologist at Wits University, I get the sense that not everything is known about this pretty common little thing.
Virtually nothing is known. You know, we don't even know how many insect species we share in this country. You know, something like dung beetles, I can tell you there are over 800 species, which they're a very well-studied group. But if we look at the flies and the wasps and the bees, you know, we know very little. And we think there are about 90,000 species of insects in this country, but 60% of them don't have a name. We haven't even given them a name yet. So, you know, there's a field of study waiting there for anybody. And you can think, oh, well, they're just insects. But insects literally are at the bottom of every food chain, either pollinating, creating food for us, or clearing up afterwards by recycling all the leftovers. So they are an essential part of every ecosystem, and we need to try and learn as much as we can about them before we get rid of them.
I guess, and a sense of protein for us in the future as well, Prof. Byrne.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point.
Entomologist at Wits University suggesting that we don't know enough about the king crickets, about the Parktown prawn. And I'm wondering if he's the only entomologist ever to get up close and personal with the Parktown prawn. Maybe the other entomologists also scared like I am. Let's take a listen to this voice note, Prof. Let's hear what they got to say.
Clarence, often when I'm lying in my bed at night in Musenberg, I thank my lucky stars that I left Joburg to come and live here, because I never have to look at another Parktown prawn again.
It's that deep, Prof. It is that deep. I mean, you could feel the fears palpable. You know, I mean, this is not doom stuff. This is exorcist stuff.
Yeah, and it's fair enough, because they are nocturnal. So they creep around at night, and they are exceptionally good at climbing and literally finding their way around. And it's, of course, males wander around looking for females. So, yes, you can get your safety threatened at night. Like that poor lady.
And it's literal. I mean, another voice note says, Clarence, those Parktown prawns absolutely terrified me when we lived in Joburg. Boy, they can jump, and they don't seem to be scared or afraid of anything, says Lynn. They're not scared of anything. You said you're not kind of certain if where they are in the food chain, who their predators are. This is interesting stuff. They're not scared of anything?
No, well, you see, again, that's anthropomorphizing, and that's interpreting it from a human point of view. This animal is tiny. It can't move half the speed that you can move, and its only defense mechanism is to jump in an erratic fashion, and that's scary. You know, it scares a lot of animals. The other defense mechanism they have is to play dead. So if you literally just put a glass over them and put a piece of paper under the glass, slide the paper under the glass, you can pick them up in 2 minutes and put them outside, and everybody's happy, and you feel like a hero because you've done this enormously brave thing with a tiny, tiny animal.
Professor Marcus Byrne, another voice note in, and then we're going to wrap up the conversation talking about Parktown prawns. Let's hear what you have to say.
I hear you talking about Parktown prawns. My family laugh at me. I know their very particular sound that they make in the evening, and I cannot sleep if I can hear that there's a Parktown prawn outside. So I go outside with my torch and a jug of warm soapy water, and I creep up close to where I can hear them, and then I pour that all around, and then they normally come gulping up for air, and then I pick them up and I put them in the jug, and then I flush them down the toilet. Listening to your speaker now, I feel quite ashamed that I flushed them down the toilet, because I see they're quite good for the ecosystem. But anyway, very interesting. Thank you. It's Carol. Bye.
Did Carol just say she picks them up? Well, Prof. Byrne, so you saying that they are good for the ecosystem, do not respond necessarily, or the response should not be commensurate with their looks, and give them their time of day.
Yeah, agreed. And Carol is actually mixing up another animal. So what she's talking about is a mole cricket. And if anybody is brave enough, like Carol, to actually pick one up, have a look at their front legs before you flush them down the toilet, and you'll see that they're little front legs that look exactly like a mole. So what you've got is this beautiful animal that is an insect, which is mimicking, through convergent evolution, the legs on a mammal.
Wow.
And if she'd just had a good look at it before she flushed it, she would have got a thrill out of that. But what she should do with the mole cricket is throw it over into the neighbor's garden, and then they can sing. And so what they do is the males sing in a tunnel, and they create a tunnel that amplifies their singing. So that's what's annoying her. But again, you know, knowledge is power. Find out about these things and you'll be fascinated.
No, absolutely. And this was meant to be a random conversation, but what wonderful discoveries around the king cricket, the Parktown prawn, with you, Prof. Marcus Byrne. It's appreciated. Entomologist at Wits University.